my angel and my best friend. When the world turned against me and deserted me, you took me high to a place where the pain ends. Show me life beyond the tears and adversity. And now I thank you, yes I thank you. Appreciate the love and guidance that you've given me. The Lord sent you and appointed you to always guide and protect and look over me. When I was down on my knees with nowhere to go, you picked me up and showed me how to love my enemies. When I was falling in the fire close to hell below, you held me close and introduced me to affinity. May God exalt you and be the wind beneath your wings, but keep you with me while I'm dealing with my lower self. You in the company of cherubim and seraphim, but to the Most High alone do we ask for help. When I thought that you were make-believe, cause I was blind to the signs of the Most High. And when I thought that you were gone or either far away, those were the times I was reminded you were close by. You are my angel, my heart and my security. And when the Lord told you bow down, you did so. After the storm, I see the rainbow and the purity. Instead of dying, I'd have found something to live for. Cause you're my angel now. This life is so painful now. I'm willing and I'm able now. I see why you wear your halo now. May God exalt you and be the wind beneath your wings, but keep you with me while I'm dealing with my lower self. You in the company of cherubim and seraphim, but to the Most High alone do we ask for help.
Family, this is Healer Asep Miriam Ali. It is November 8th, 2016. I'm not even going to give energy what is taking place in this now because we are focused on what we are doing with the collective collaboration right here, right now. So I want to first and foremost give thanks to the Most High, whatever the God of your understanding is, and take a moment to just breathe. And begin to get in a space where you can receive. You are on this show for a reason. We are doing this show for a reason. There is no such thing as an accident. We are exactly where we are intended to be and where it was already divinely written for us to be. I'm honored to do this work. And before we even bring in our guest, I want to first and foremost welcome you to Women Empowerment with Healer Asep Miriam Ali. I have been doing this sisterhood show. We're coming up on a long time that we're coming up on. And I'm honored to have been doing this work. I'm thankful to be doing this work. And my intention is to please the Creator with my mission and ensure that I can help as many people as I can. I can be the aid, but we all direct to the ultimate Creator. Women empowerment, what we vow to do is we vow to empower women independent of compromising empowerment for others. Women Empowerment is dedicated to introducing, implementing, and institutionalizing the importance of divine femininity and the balance that it serves in healing our women, our homes, our communities, and our world. We do strongly, and I'm going to say this real strong. I hope you can. I don't really have bass in my voice, but you can feel it. You can feel that vibration of a bass. We strongly believe that healing sisters and healing the sisterhood and the women doing the work amongst the women is a key factor, if not the major factor, in healing our communities and our world. We understand very clearly what it means to be a woman, the power of being a woman, and ensuring that it's not being taken for granted, as well as we aren't taking advantage of the position of being a woman, and we're responsible in our femininity. That is our goal, and that is what we will do, God willing. So I'm really, really excited about today and our guest. This is actually our first for the reader of the year. Every Tuesday we will have an amazing, empowering sisterhood that I am involved in. And there's not enough Tuesdays in the year for me to get everybody in, but January you will see. But for the rest of the year, I do have some really powerful sisters that will be coming onto the show, and I want to expose and give some accessibility. I've been blessed to have some really wonderful people on this show with me over the years, and I do believe we did our phase of having the greats. We had the greats from Queen Afua to Dr. Jewel Pookrum to we even had men, great men, Dr. Sebi, Dr. Phil Valentine. We have had everybody on this show, right? But I also think from the greats, and then my generation, a little bit older than my generation, and then pulling and getting our hands, so that you see that this is a continuous thing, and this sister definitely represents that for me. As much as I would love to just say, this is my baby sister, she is so wise in her understanding, and an honor to be able to be a part of it. And today's topic, talk about support. We're going to talk about what does it look like to be in a sisterhood and truly have support, how we as sisters need support from each other, defining what it looks like and what that looks like from, and we're going to talk about from physical to financial. We're going to cover the whole gambit, because there are some misconceptions about sisterhood and why sisterhood support is so important to the collective whole. And then we are also going to celebrate our special guest, Celeste Ma'at, and her incredibly divine feminine company called Light as a Feather, and we're going to give her the platform to explain that. And we're going to tap that when we go into the financial piece, because I want her to share her services so that all of us as women can take advantage of what she is offering. So without further ado, I'm going to, I know I gave her a pretty fluffy introduction, but I just love this sister that much. Without further ado, I do want to bring in Sister Celeste Ma'at and give her an opportunity to introduce herself. Hey sis, how you doing?
Greetings. Can you hear me?
Greetings. Yes, I can hear you. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Wonderful, wonderful. Why don't you tell the people about what you do, who you are? We could talk about Light as a Feather as much as we want. So go ahead and...
Well, you got me feeling all fuzzy inside. Everything you've already said. Thank you so much.
Yes.
No. So, my name is Celeste Ma'at. I am a student at Metro State University of Denver. I own Light as a Feather, which is a business where I assist women through their journey of self-healing and self-care, and I use indigenous healing services and herbal remedies to do so. I study Africana studies I double major in Africana studies and alternative healthcare. So, yeah.
Amazing, amazing. How did you get involved in this, especially being a student? How did you get involved in this line of work?
It started from healing myself, honestly. when I was at a school, in college, out of state, I kind of went into, like, this deep depression because I wasn't sure what I wanted to do. I had a lot of things were, like, coming up for me. It was around the winter season, you know, when, you know, that seasonal depression and everything's kind of coming up. Mm-hmm. You're like, oh, what am I doing with my life and everything? So it was in that seat where I was like, well, I need to start working on myself and start healing myself. And from there is when I it wasn't light as a feather then, but the idea of, you know, me healing myself is going to kind of have a rippling effect in healing my family, healing my community, the sisterhood, and everything. So from there, I became certified in Raseki, which is Kemetic Reiki. And it took me a while to really start getting out in the community with serving that, because I kind of had this savior complex type thing where I felt like because I did Reiki or was doing healing work that, you know, I have to save everybody, you know, and I had to kind of come to this realization that, no, I can't heal other people. Other people have to want to put in the work, have to want to heal themselves, mm-hmm. and I'm mm-hmm. just there as an altar to assist them in their work, you know. So it was mm-hmm. when, maybe a year ago, when I had that switch, like, no, I'm just assistant. I'm just the altar for them. That's when I really, like, I feel like I started to really blossom into my role as a healer within the community. So,
mm-hmm. which is very wonderful, and how we have and how we met. I think it was so, and I hope that I am extending some skipping time, that you don't have to go through the nonsense or the craziness that I have had to go through. And I have some great mentors who've done the same for me and said, hey, here's a skill. This is what you need. And that goes right into our topic on why so much needed, because we could share our experiences and we can say, well, how did we do this? And how do you get in place where you realize that you can't save everybody, especially those of us who decide to do healing work. We tend to throw ourselves out there initially and say, I'm going to just do everything. And sometimes we sell ourselves short and don't even charge. We do all types of situations where it compromises really the gift, really the craft, really the ability to value what we bring to the table. So when you talked about, when you touched saying, you know, I thought I needed to save the world, and you went through this journey just looking for yourself, did you have sisterhood support in those moments?
It really wasn't until recently that I found sisterhood. It was probably like right around that time. Yeah, that I was like, well, no, I need to heal myself first. So yeah, it was around that time when I first started on this journey. No, I had no support. But when I finally did realize, because it was another sister who had to like tell me that, you know, like, you know, people have to heal themselves. So that is when the sisterhood did start to form. You know, I had to start realizing that I needed, well, I had to change my mindset. I had to, like, realize that I need to attract people in my life, women in my life that were going to support me and what I was doing, you know? So, because it was hard to kind of switch into that mindset, especially growing up. I know I was bullied a lot in high school and middle school and everything, so I was very vulnerable or very, like, not very trustworthy of other women, you know? And so I had to be like, okay, I need to be vulnerable. I need to know that, you know, I'm going to attract who it is that I need in my life in this moment. So it was through that mindset change that I feel like I started to attract a very supportive sisterhood and trust that I'm attracting who it is that I need in my life at that moment.
So before you got your sisterhood and were attracting the women that you needed in your life, what were your thoughts on the idea of sisterhood? Especially coming from, you said you were bullied, and where are you coming from, and now you're coming into appreciating that sisterhood?
I apologize. Can I, one second, I apologize.
That's all right. So when we are family talking about the importance of having a sisterhood support, a lot of times,
hello?
Most of the, yes, go ahead.
Okay, I was like, do you mind re-saying the question? There was some stuff going on that I wasn't able to, like, my full attention wasn't on the question. I apologize for that. So do you mind restating the question so I can be fully here? I apologize.
Where were your, what were your thoughts on sisterhood before you began to attract sisterhood to you?
I don't know. It was a little like shiesty and a little petty, you know. It was like, I feel like I couldn't be fully myself, you know what I mean? Around, all the women in my life, like I can only show certain parts of who I am, you know, because you never know who anybody knows and they might go and, you know, tell, you know, it was just like very, like behind your back type, you know, you can only trust somebody to a certain limit. Like, I don't really feel like the full being trustworthy of another sister was there for me personally. And yeah. So
was that a learned behavior or an experienced behavior?
I think it was an experience. I feel like it was experience, definitely. But it could have been a little mixture of both. You know, we're so, like, programmed from the beginning, you know what I mean? Like, even between, like, mother-daughter relationships, you know, which is a reflection of how, like, our mothers were raised by their mothers, you know? So I do feel like it was probably part learned and experienced, you know? So, yeah, not to put, like, all my business on the stream, but, I mean, I trust that what I'm saying needs to be heard. So I know I do feel like a lot of, like, my maternal relationship definitely affected how my relationship with other women are. So I do feel like it is learned, like how your relationship with your mother is definitely how it's going to be with other women in your life. So yeah, I feel like it was kind of learned, and then I had to like unlearn it so I could start building the type of relationships that I want with other women, and then in the future, like my future daughters, you know, to you know, redo that relationship, you know what I mean, to have a healthier bond to my daughter so that they can, you know, it's a domino effect, you know, so yeah.
Absolutely. We are going to go ahead and go into each specific type of topic type of support that the sisterhood lends, and we're going to cover physical, emotional, mental, spiritual, and financial. Before we do that, let me first give some very, very quick announcements. If you are in the Denver, Colorado area, November 19th, Timeless Multimedia, as well as Visions Performing Arts, we will be doing a coat giveaway, a Second Chance Center, and that is off of Dayton and 16th, that's Saturday. And it is Second Chance, first of all, is an incredible organization who are coming out of the system, and they need to have that additional support. Really, really honored to be coming in. Saturday, November 19th, and it's going to be from 1 p.m. until about 4. We'll be giving away coats, we'll be giving away food, served hot cocoa, and we just want to help as many in need and whoever needs to be warm. And then the following Saturday, the 6th, November 26th, will be at Dayton Opportunity Center from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Doing the same thing, we will actually be fully doing food as well. So we'll be dispersing food, we'll be dispersing coats, and there will be a small, nice keynote speaker who's going to just give the families that need some additional support words of encouragement and giving them resources. And then January 7th is Rags to Redemption February 25th is the Daddy Daughter Dance. So if you are in Denver area, in Colorado, period, or you'll be in Colorado for any of those dates, please come and support. This is huge for us. We want to help as many people as we possibly can. And then we're going to tap it off with the Daddy Daughter Dance and celebrate all of the work that we have done in winter to ensure people are warm. So if you want any more information, find us on Facebook. Rags to Redemption has a page. Timeless Multimedia has a page. My page, Don Blas, wherever you can contact us and get involved. We do need volunteers. We do need people who can help purchase bags to give the coats away or tissue paper or cups for the cocoa. All types of things are needed. So we would definitely appreciate it. All right, let's go into our topic for the sisterhood support. We're going to take it from the lower level up to the higher level, and then we're going to bring it to the financial level, because we understand that finances are energy. It's a currency, and I'm going to read one of the quotes from our guest for 2 weeks from today, Sister Lori Angel Price. She did a wonderful post about currency and womanhood that I want to share. So let's talk about physical support. Sisters, I'm just going to put it out there. Light as a Feather can definitely be a resource for you, but physically we are sick. And I don't even like to give energy to that type of word or that type of vibration, but as a collective whole, sisters, we need to get physically healthy. Now, that doesn't mean that it looks like a type, all right? That doesn't mean that it looks like another woman even. It means, can you run? Is your cardio all right? Are you putting into your body what is going to support you staying in alignment with your higher self? The sugars, the starches, these false foods, this, so much of what we think we're eating isn't even nutritionally real food. So are we ensuring that we're eating to live and we're not eating to kill ourselves? All right. Are we exercising? You know, a bad diet can never outdo, you can never out-exercise a bad diet. So you, as much as you can work out, as much as you are fit, you still can be internally tearing your body apart. And a lot of times we have so many women's movements around body imaging and body, all of these things, right? And we're not criticizing any of those. We're saying the support to be healthy. Sometimes healthy is thick. Sometimes healthy is thin. Sometimes healthy is right in the middle. It's an apple shape. It's a Coke bottle shape. Are we giving each other support and saying, sis, let's go for a walk together? Sis, let's change our diet. Let's take this out of our diet. Sister Celeste is vegan, right? Aren't you a vegan?
Yes, ma'am.
Is that correct?
I'm vegan.
Yes. So Celeste is a vegan, and some of us don't eat pork. Some of us don't eat any meat. We're vegetarian. Some of us only eat seafood. Some of us, whatever it is, are we giving the support where we should even know? We should even know each other's diet within the sisterhood like that. For example, Celeste and I, a couple weeks ago, we had an event that we were involved in, and the food was a part of the event. Going in there, we should be able to go in and say, all right, Celeste is going to be able to eat that, and making sure that our company and making sure that we are truly invested in, let me look out for my sis. My sis is going to say, all right, I said, there's some fish in there. You can probably get at some of that salmon, and holding that true. Another thing is that when we come together and we are in community, ensuring that all of those support systems are there, because it makes all the difference. We neglect how important our food intake is to our productivity. We also neglect how important our physical selves and the food that we eat are to our contribution of love to one another, right? We don't, it's the little things that matter and ensure that you know I care enough about you to ensure whatever you need. So if there is an event, we have to make sure we have at least 2 to 3 vegan dishes for the vegans, that we know we have this for the people who are only going to eat this type of food. Then we're going to follow it up and say, sis, how is your cardio? When have you been working out? We have organizations. We have sisters who are being I have a wonderful sister, Sister Genevieve. She'll be on the show, and she is passionate about fitness and why it's important and the images that it gives to us. And we need to see healthy support systems within our physical health. Light as a feather goes even beyond exercise and food when we're talking about our womb care. And we all are familiar with the importance of taking care of our womb, at the very least, on a monthly, right? At the very least, we know that every month we have a special time that we should be caring for our wombs. We have, 3 other weeks in 12 months where often we will get neglectful. We had a whole different event this past Sunday that Sister Celeste and I were involved in, and I got the honor of being able to stand by her booth and kind of ear hustle the response that she was getting from the work that she does. And sis, you can go into the importance of being in tune with our wombs as women and why that physical sisterhood support is so important.
Okay. Well, I know for one thing, when I tell people about, you know, the yoni steaming, and they think fertility and they think babies, and they go running. They're like, nope, I can't have no babies. I'm running off. Like,
right,
no, no.
Right.
So something that I'm working on is kind of changing the idea of what fertility means. Like, we think fertility just babies, but being our womb is right in near the sacral chakra. And that's all about creativity and, you know, producing, you know, ideas. And, you know, it's not just about babies. It's about, you know, becoming more creative and becoming, you know, more in ourselves and knowing, you know, and wisdom. You know what I mean? So, like, when you're fertile, it's just allowing space to grow, allowing a new you to grow. You know what I mean? It doesn't have to be a whole nother person, you know? So that's something that I'm working on, learning how to, like, you know, translate to other women, you know. So it's not all just about having babies. It's about having creating a newer, newer you, just a more elevated you, you know. So, let's see. So with our womb, I do a lot of, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay, no. I was going to say most of my healing comes from herbs. I use herbs for everything, and herbs are very, very healing. You know, it's very, you hear fruit is for electricity, vegetables are for, like, grounding. You know, herbs are just for that healing. It's like that medicine that we get from the earth, you know, and herbs help on all levels, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. They have all those energetics, and based off of our consultation and conversations that we have with each other, I will choose herbs that I feel like will best work with you and your womb and your self-care and self-healing.
Why this support is necessary, our sacral creativity, but it also supports our solar plexus. So each chakra is connected to all chakras. They're all aligned in with one another. And our chakras serve as a system that gives us support in all realms, right? And we are so out of tune with that. because we're so out of tune with our physical self. So we can't even comprehend the idea of a chakra because we haven't even talked to our womb in 25 years, you know, some of us. So you say womb and we automatically assume, you know, I say this all the time to women and to men. The womb and the female reproductive system is so much more than sex and having babies. That is two aspects of such a complex system, the reproductive system. And it is so much more than, you know, we debase it to such a low, to two things as if. So then my question always is, especially to women who are like, you know, there's only two purposes. It's sex and to have babies. So what is it doing when it's not having sex and it's not having babies? What is your – it's just sitting there with no purpose. We can't even support that the creator creates things with a purpose. More than we understand. And sisterhood, in the sisterhood, we support one another because we can see women – who don't have children, sometimes women who aren't even engaged in sex at the time, still be powerful with their womb energy. And so we get to that space of being able to say, you know what, there's some power, there's some understanding here, and only sisters can do this. You know, I think it is so hilarious. I am definitely on the side that the women need to deal with the women and the men need to deal with the men. And it amazes me. It amazes me when men are instructing or teaching warfare. This is amazing to me. And here, sister, is why sisterhood support is so necessary. Mm-hmm. Imagine. And, you know, brothers will get offended. I can say, I've studied and I know what I'm going into. That's a completely, totally different experience. Because when you're not in the womb because you were making love to it, what a poor, you can be a cheerleader, but you're not in the game of womanhood. You're not in the game of having a womb. So when we support these things, sisters, and a lot of times we do this because we don't know. I tell women all the time, do not have a male gynecologist. That just doesn't even. Can we tell a man what it's like to have balls? I mean, that's you know, like we don't know what it is to experience a penis. So why in the world would we take instruction from studying? I mean, you can study as long as you want, but until you're in the game, you don't know what it is. And that support of sisterhood is so vital because we need to get back to women teach women how to be women, men teach men how to be men. We are so, those lines have been blurred in that support. And if, and sisters, I'm telling you, just simply getting in tune with yourself physically. Forget, if you know, sometimes you're going to hear on this show tonight us referring to chakras and spiritual understanding and all of these different things. You're going to hear us. And if that's too deep for you, if that's too far, and I don't want to say deep, if that's too far for you, just get in tune with yourself physically, and you will see the importance of being surrounded by women. Sister Celeste doesn't only do womb care. She also does breast care. And how in the world can anyone else but a woman who naturally produces breasts tell you about breast care? You don't know. I don't care how many implants and wannabe whatever a non-woman gets. It is still going to be, you don't know what it feels like to produce milk. You don't know what it is to have a month. You don't get it. You don't understand conceptually and definitely not figuratively what it means to do that. Sis, why don't you, I know we talked about your womb care, but why don't you talk about and share about the importance of breast care as well?
Well, our breasts are right there near our heart, in our heart chakra. And as women, especially Black women, we hold so much on our hearts through institutionalized racism that we go through, oppression, just the stuff we got going on in our families and our own stuff that we're trying to heal through. You know, we hold that onto our hearts, in our hearts. And a lot of what we go through emotionally and spiritually usually, well, more than likely will start to manifest physically. So that's where we get tumors in our breast, breast cancer. So I have services like the breast wrap detox, or breast wrap detox and a breast wrap scrub, and where I assist with just getting the circulation in our breasts going, doing lymph node release through the armpit, mm-hmm. you know, like releasing mm-hmm. those lymph nodes to get circulation going. A lot of times, you know, we wear our bras all day and our boobs are all like scrunched up, and sometimes it's releasing and letting them move a little jiggle around, you know,
mm-hmm.
so we can
mm-hmm.
get that circulation going, you know, and we have to kind of take that into our life too, like circulating things through our life instead of just letting it, you know, stick onto us, you know what I mean, and stay in one spot. Like, allow those emotions, allow those feelings to just kind of move through our life, you know. Acknowledge them, figure out where they're coming from, and, you know, letting it go. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah, I have a breast detox scrub where I use calendula, red clover tops, ladies' mantle, which are all great herbs for our breast health. They've been soaked in olive oil, and then I put it in a salt scrub. And the reason why I chose salt is because salt on an energetic level repels negative energy. So while you're actively rubbing that on your chest and your breast area, it's repelling any, you know, negative energy from our hearts and from our chest area, so we can, you know, live as light as a feather, live our, you know, have our hearts as light, you know, so. Sorry,
heart chakra is where our breast is. Sisters,
mm-hmm.
I really want you to understand how much, and Celeste touched on it, but how much energy we hold in our hearts. There is this misconception, and this is such a huge misconception, that because women are in tune with ourselves emotionally more than men, imbalance or irrationality, right? As if men don't have emotions as well, right? So when we get into a space, sisters, where we are safe in the sisterhood, we can begin to tap into what are our emotions and what leads our heart chakra, that green chakra, where and how do we make those things productive? And if you are clogged up, because a lot of times it's our deodorant that we're wearing, it's our bras
mm-hmm.
that we're wearing, it's we're trying to boost up our boobs when they're not supposed to be boosted up. They are supposed to hang. They are meant to hang for a reason, because of how that energy is flowing out, and particularly with your milk production, because you don't produce milk just because you're pregnant. That's a whole nother thing. So you have a whole array of built up energy that's being held physically. And until you can even clear that, it is hard to deal with the emotional body, the mental body, the spiritual body. So physically, this is why we are spending this much time on physically. Sisters, if we just get healthy physically with ourselves within the support of the sisterhood, this is where you begin to introduce the let's clear our minds, let's clear our emotions, let's clear our spirits, and let's be as divinely feminine as we possibly can. There's the patriarchy, ill patriarchy has created this thing that being a woman is less than, that we are not able to be capable, and all of these stereotypes that we have embedded. I wrote a piece called She Be Patriarchal. We have sisters who will endorse the oppression of women to support a man, and not really understanding that what you're doing is you're holding back the entire community when you are not allowing the sisterhood or the woman to blossom, and when you are attempting to control, when you are attempting to suppress, when you are attempting, and a lot of times we hold that in our hearts because we can, sometimes we don't know, we can't articulate it because we don't know what it is, but we feel it. We feel that systematic racism. We feel it. But we sometimes we don't know how to articulate it. So where do you think that energy goes? It has to go somewhere. And most times mm-hmm. it's going back into food. The rest of the tumors are not we are
You're kind of breaking in and out. I don't know if it's just my phone or.
Oh, goodness. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
All right. I'm sorry. My energy be getting high like that. So, all right. Let's go into, we talked about physical. We spent a lot of time on physical. From physical, the support that the sisterhood gives emotionally. Ooh. All right, sisters. This ties into mental as well, but this is so important because sisterhood support must be created in a safe, trusted environment. Sometimes that environment is on the phone. Sometimes it's sister circles where we're meeting regularly, whatever it is. But if we are in a space where we can't trust the confidentiality that we share with one another, this is where the breakdown of sisterhood usually happens, right? Because we are trying to fence around the sisterhood. And it can be one sister, just one, who goes and shares information to another sister. If that sister mm-hmm. wasn't involved in the sacred exchange, that information is to stay where it was unleashed, right? But we will compromise the sisterhood. And a lot of times we're so post-traumatic slave syndrome is so real. We will go and tell each other's business for the sake mm-hmm. of fitting in somewhere else. Sometimes it's fitting in with our men or our intimate man. Sometimes it's fitting in another sisterhood. Sometimes it's fitting in for a job. We will demean and share private, confidential information with one and outside of where it was unleashed. And this compromises the sisterhood so much. In the day of social media, I see this so often on Facebook, where a woman will degrade another woman, subliminal messages, right? You know, mm-hmm. the other woman knows who they're talking about. And then we have 1,500 comments, 2,000 likes of other women. Girl, if this was da-da-da-da-da, and we don't recognize how that feeds the energy of a broken sisterhood. We don't understand how when we go to a brother, and I'm going to say this really strongly, when we go to a brother and share a sister's information with the brother, first of all, why? What is that brother going to do? He's not a part of the sisterhood. What are we going to, unless there is a reason for resource, but we will do this oftentimes, women, and we have to get honest with ourselves. We will do this to make other women look less than to our own womanhood. We got to be honest about that. We have to understand that there is a brokenness that even in the sisterhood continues to happen. And there are those of us who are willing to say, let me clean up this mess. Let me come behind you and clean up the mess that you've brought because you still haven't done your work. But when we're not sure if it's a trusted space, how can we do our work, right? So the first and foremost thing that must be honored is confidentiality. Sisters, we got to get back into a place where you are your sister's keeper. That means I'm the keeper of her safety, her secrets, her insecurities, her doubt, her celebrations, the good things. I'm not going to be the first one to tell a sister's business before she does it. I'll wait And if it, you know, how many times have sisters, we're going back to womb work, but how many times have sisters been pregnant and we don't, and they don't want it to be known that they're pregnant until they get to the second or third trimester because they've had miscarriages before. But in a sacred space where it can be compromised, we'll find out somebody's pregnant and go post it on social media and the sister isn't even ready to tell. You see, there is a space that first and foremost, before we can deal with emotional and mental sisterhood support, we have to honor the sacredness, confidentiality. We can't tell everybody's business. We can't, even when it's ill business, even when it's business that is detrimental, because their path is their path, and oftentimes the sisterhood needs to be a support to vent. Can you imagine if we had a support where sisters could just honestly vent? Let me just get this out so that when I go back into the world, go back into my home, go back into the community, I am freed of the energy of the oppression that Sister Celeste talked about. We don't have a safe space to cry with each other. We don't have a safe space to, and then we are foolish to think that our men can serve, because our men are going to come in and they're going to receive the information of us needing to vent, of us needing to process, of us needing to do whatever. They're going to receive as what? A man. Man. So 9 times out of 10, they're going to either A, want to try to figure out how to fix it, or B, want to criticize and say that you're being womanly. This is where the sisterhood support is so, so important for confidentiality and for it to be safe. Sis, you got any input on that?
I agree with you, especially with being trustworthy. Like you said, that's what I really, have the issue with, and just like the gossip and everything. And I know we've been raised on gossip. Like, I feel like Black women, we've been gossiping for forever. When we're being raised, we hear our aunties and our grandmothers gossiping and sharing information. And sometimes we just got to be passionate with ourselves, or compassionate with ourselves. Okay, when I do start to say something out of line, start catching it instead of just keep going. You know what I mean? I sometimes feel we just allow that information to boost our egos and people have, I'm saying something that people want to hear, even though it's none of their business, probably none of your business either, but because you feel like it needs to be, said so people can hear you,
So when we get into, when we finally do find that safe space and we do find the next stage of sisterhood support emotionally and mentally is non-judgment. That's the next thing that we must hold ourselves accountable to. We cannot come into the sisterhood thinking that we are to judge, or there is a there definitely is an order. There definitely is a hierarchy. That happens naturally. It doesn't happen with somebody voting and saying, "Oh, you're in this role within the sisterhood." It kind of happens naturally because in femininity and matriarchal systems, all roles are celebrated, all roles are balanced, and we understand that each part is necessary. So when we're dealing with that, that means that we can't judge. A lot of times we think that sisterhood is supposed to be done like brotherhood. And again, this is systematic. This is conditioning. This is patriarchal views that have been infused into the sisterhood, and we need to get away from that. We need to completely break that. The way that the men do brotherhood is not our business, and however their system is set up is not our business. We need to be honest, and we need to get authentic within femininity and recognize what is effective for womanhood and for femininity, for all of us to leave the sisterhood and be able to be productive and still properly represent the sisterhood. And that looks like non-judgment. We are not here. Who are we to say that a sister who may have been on drugs for 5 years, she gets cleaned up and she's ready to come into the sisterhood and contribute wholeheartedly? How dare us think that we have any room to say because you were an addict, dot, dot, dot. That is not our place. It's our place to be the support system and to ensure that she doesn't feel judged, because she's already judged in the world. She's already judged among other women who aren't in the sisterhood. She's already judged among the men, among employers, among society. Here, you're, and that is so vital, because when we're dealing with this oppression and systematic racism and our men dogging us, our sisters dogging us, our children out of control, our, when we're dealing with these things, mental illness is mental, I don't want to say mental illness, mental health and emotional health is vital to find in the sisterhood. And we have to go back to organic. This is as light as a feather, does holistic modalities that are traced to our ancestors in Africa. You know, that we can trace all of those things back. Do you not think, and I, in my modality is holistic psychology, do you not think that our ancestors or there are not holistic ways to address mental and emotional health as well? There absolutely are, but we have to take it one step at a time, and we have to collectively have that support system within the sisterhood where we can celebrate. Here's herbs for your womb, herbs for your breast, and herbs for your spirit, and herbs for your mind, and herbs that, because they all exist. And so we have to create that support system. And God willing, you are seeing how light as a feather is so complementary to Healer Ourselves and my lead. And what I provide, and sisters who are on the line, you are going to be able to see where you fit in, because on this show, on Woman Empowerment, completely walk away from the conditioning of sisterhood doesn't work, and you're going to walk into understanding how you contribute to the sisterhood. So you should be hearing Light as a Feather, should be hearing Healer Ourselves, in what we all provide on a collective, and you should be able to say, oh, and this is where I fit in. I teach Zumba. This is where I fit in. Oh, this is where I fit in. I'm a vegan cook. Or this is where I fit in. See, we all have a part to play, and we have to get the junk out of the way. We'll get caught up on, girl, he used to be with me, and girl, we did this. Mm-hmm. And completely make a man get in the way of the sisterhood. We'll completely make a gossip get in the way of a sisterhood, instead of saying, let me talk to you. Let's sit down. Let's clear this, because you're productive to the sisterhood. I'm productive. And how we get past that? Don't nobody care who you used to sleep with. Don't nobody care who you used to know, what you used to do. What are you showing up in right now? And that's where sisterhood support, because you're free of needing to do something. You're free of that, and you're far healing our homes, our community, and our planet. Port as well.
But you're breaking. You know, I said you're breaking in and out again.
Can you hear me? I'm sorry.
Yeah, what did you say?
That goes into the spiritual support that I don't want to give too much away, because I do want us all to support Light as a Feather. And, of course, Healer Ourselves and the services that we provide collectively, which goes into the financial support. Sis, tell us your journey of getting financial support from sisters with Light as a Feather, and why it's so important.
Let's see, financial support. I feel like, well, as I started Light as a Feather, I started this summer, and I was working two jobs. I was at Love, Peace, and Soul, the vegan food cafe. I don't know if anybody knew about it, but anybody on the line that had been there, but it was a vegan soul food restaurant owned by two Black women. And really all the money that I was working there went into Light as a Feather. So, and I'm still pretty new. I've been doing this for about 4-5 months now. So, yeah, definitely Lonnie and Karan allowed me to work there for them, definitely. assisted in, you know, getting Light as a Feather going. And then so far, most of my support hasn't, I'm not going to be honest, I don't know if it's just because I'm so brand new and just coming out, you know, most of my support has definitely been from most of the times when I've been out doing pop-up shops, selling teas and tinctures and stuff at the Expo, Natural Hair Expo, and this summer I was at Crown Curls Fest. So far that's where I've been getting a lot of support. But from some of my close friends, I've definitely been getting a lot of support through them coming to my photo shoots so I can get pictures out there, reposting stuff on Facebook. So right now that's where a lot of my support has been coming from. But yeah, and I definitely very grateful for all my friends who have done those things for me, like just showed up to some of my events, you know what I mean, helped me sell stuff. So that's where a lot of my support so far has been. So, yeah.
Sisters, I'm going to get specific because women empowerment is not just about sisterhood. However, I'm a Black woman, so that is the first sisterhood that I do represent. I am going to get specific to Black women right now. Black women, we are the largest consumers on the planet. Anywhere our finances go brings success. So sure, now we have this natural hair movement. It didn't shift the hair industry. It shifted them to cater to what we're purchasing. Because why? We need to ensure we are making, if we could grasp the concept that finances are our energy, this is our spiritual space of what we are representing, and the state of mind is where we spend. We can empower our full sisterhood just in these things. I try so hard to get women to understand that it is so important for you to create a business and create your own way and look to the sisterhood to be your first clientele, because what happens is we're going to spread the word. In order to be the largest consumers on the planet, it means we are also the best sellers on the planet. See, we don't want to talk about that. In order to consume, you must be also a salesperson, because you're not going to sell what you don't consume. You're not going to sell what you don't believe in, what you don't think is great. So getting the sisters to say, you know, definitely Light as a Feather is a brand new business, so you're going to learn some things, but I can definitely assure you, I went from price raises of the services that I provide. I have gone through giving services for free, doing all of the, I've gone through the whole journey of financially figuring out how to value what I bring to the table. And sisters, when you get that space of saying you bring this and I bring this, you also go beyond actual currency and realize the importance of even bartering. See, that's true matriarchal system. What do you have that I need? What do I have that you need? And how can we exchange this equally so that we are putting value where it goes instead of on this piece of paper that's worthless anyway? Sister Lori Angel Price, on the 6th, she made a powerful post that I shared. And she said, money is considered currency. Currents flow effortlessly like water. Effortless flow is feminine. The word money came from the word moon. The moon is feminine and has a direct effect on water. The symbol for money is the S with the I in it, which really resembles Isis. Isis is also known as Aset. Aset is an ancient Kemetic Egyptian goddess which some consider the first woman mother of humanity, which leads me to the idea that women are inherently rich. The word inherently stems from inheritance. Inheritance can be broken down into it's in her. Women, you don't have to get rich. You are rich. Tap in and let the money flow effortlessly. This sister will be, this is Sister Lori Angel Price. She will be on the show on the 22nd in 2 weeks. And her company is Derma Petite, and she does incredible skincare work. And you will see, and you have seen because you've been on the show plenty of times. If we can get past the idea that money is beyond how powerful the sisterhood is, and we begin to understand that it's the sisterhood that makes money even flow through any system, we can really begin to change our thinking, and we can attract the clients that we deserve to have. And financially, the sisterhood deserves that. And then what happens is, because the sisterhood is doing this type of work, we naturally give back to the sisterhood. We naturally say, I'm going to use this service, and then because of whatever it is that needs to be taken care of within the sisterhood, we don't hesitate saying all of us need to pitch in $10, all of us need to do this, because that's what sisterhood is. Sisters, we are responsible for the flow of exchange. We are. We're responsible for the flow of exchange universally. A man exchanges his sperm into our womb. We produce and ensure, by the will of Allah, we produce and make that sperm become a product. We produce another human being, and we give back that exchange through our womb. We biologically are the value. So if we can begin to take that in conceptualize that, but see, sometimes it takes, sometimes we might have to start from scratch and just get y'all to get reflexology. Just get your hands and feet rubbed properly so you can physically get there. But there are levels, and we have to understand that that's the importance of sisterhood support. Sis, do you have anything to add to that?
I'm soaking it all in right now. Actually, that was a beautiful quote. And it was all true. Yeah, I mean, you're inspiring me in like how I should think about myself and my value as a woman, and how I charge, you know, how I charge for my services and my products. You know, I'm always going back and forth like, oh, is this too high, is this too low? And I'm just like, no, I need to trust that this price is good, and that I value, you know, what I'm giving, and that other people will value it as well, and, you know, pay what it is, you know.
Yes, absolutely. And that's a support, and I'd love to sit with you and get you clear for that, because that mm-hmm. is so we don't realize how invaluable we still are conditioned to think of ourselves before we make a move. Because, and that's just because we've been conditioned to. Somebody told black women somewhere down the line that they were the bottom of the bottom of the bottom. And mm-hmm. no matter how much work we do, no matter how much healing we do, no matter how much clearing we do, we don't really see that until we become businesswomen. And we are forced mm-hmm. to have to feed ourselves through ourselves. Then is when you realize how broken and how ineffective, because the money isn't the issue. It's the value of the product, and we are the product, and we have been conditioned. We don't realize it. And a lot of times, even the consumers, even other sisters, don't realize how conditioned they have been to even see a black woman in business. You see? And so there's all of these layers, and this is why I really wanted you to be on this particular show, because I wanted to get to the layer of financial support and this is why it's so important. I'm honored. I have great mentors, Cleo Parker Robinson, Queen of Fool. I have all of these sisters who have fed me properly, and it's our duty. And again, sisters, while you hear the balance of services, I also hope that you hear, you better be looking at who is the next whoever that you need to be contributing to, because that's also a part of the financial support. That's also a part of the mental, spiritual, emotional, and physical support, is ensuring that we are constantly, you are never too old to put your hand to the next person. You are never too young to put your hand to the next person. So you constantly have to be looking, because this model of sisterhood should be duplicatable. This model of giving back should be easily, you know, all of my mentors, the only thing I had to pay them back was to ensure I constantly put my hand, both my hands and my feet, to the next whoever, to whoever was ready to eat, whoever was ready to grow. And if we see that, that's value, that's currency, that's financial success. That's where you'll begin to say, because I should be referring people to Light as a Feather. Light as a Feather should be referring to Healer. I said, this is exchanging. That's where currency happens, not in a piece of paper. Whew. And we are valuable, and we should know that we are valuable. Sisters, I want to say thank you so much for being on the line. We did have many listeners. We have people who are texting saying this is really, really good stuff. They're looking at the page. If you are on Facebook, go to the page Light as a Feather. It is just as it is, just as you spell it, Light as a Feather, L-I-G-H-T. A-S-F-E-A-T-H-E-R, and go see what Sister Celeste Ma'at is doing for the sisters and how powerful this work is. Women, we need to get our womb in check. We need to get our breasts in check, and that is going to be able to open you up. And then you can say, all right, I did this work. Let me go take my chakra course. Let me go get my reading. Let me go do my initiation healing. And that's where you are able to see the greater whole and how all things are connected. Sis, you have anything to say before we close out tonight?
I just want to thank you so much for allowing me on the show today. I feel so honored. And, I do Yoni steaming for your first steam is $35. So, like my page, Light as a Feather, or you can email me at lightasafeather42@gmail.com for more information.
Yes. And I am Healer Asad Miriam Ali. You can find me at that website, www.healerasadmiriamali.com. Or you can find me on Facebook. There is a page. Also, you can add me. I do give a message so to my personal page, so please don't take it personal. Just like to protect my energy, that's all. I love everyone. Divine Femininity, again, you are on Woman Empowerment, and our vow is to empower women independent of compromising empowerment of others. Women Empowerment is dedicated to introducing, implementing, and institutionalizing the importance of divine femininity and the balance that it serves in healing our women, our homes, our families, our communities, and our world. Thank you for joining us, Celeste Ma'at. Thank you so much for being on, sis. I'm so proud of you. I'm so honored and blessed to be able to be a source for you in your life and in your journey. It is so amazing to see you and your work, because you zoned out on Sunday and I got to see it, and that was like really, really dope to see, and I'm just so happy for you. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Who was listening, and we will see you next week. Next Tuesday, we are going to have yet again another very, very, very powerful sister who has done just amazing work with me. The nice thing about sisterhood is that a lot of these sisters are genuinely my friends. Like, we genuinely do this work together. We have conversations. And by the time they come on the show, it's almost like if the show is just the eavesdropping. You guys are just eavesdropping what is happening and in our conversations, because we always say, gosh, I wish that everybody could hear our conversations. And so we're just bringing our conversations on. But the sister next week is Sisters in Business. And her name is Tiffany Bowden. And she's just incredible. She is a fierce businesswoman, and she's obtaining her doctorate right now, almost done, and I'm honored to call her my sister and dear friend. So make sure that you're with us, Tiffany Balance, next week, and she's in the cannabis industry making all type of waves and doing her thing. So, again, I thank you for joining us. My name is Hila Asset Miriam Ali. You can find me everywhere. Just put that name in, and you can find me somewhere. And we will see you next week. Thank you all. Peace and blessings.